Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, and welcome to Good One, a podcast about jokes. I'm your host, Vulture Senior Editor, Jesse David Fox. Usually, each episode, a comedian comes on to play a clip of one of their jokes and then discusses how they wrote it and how it fits into what they're trying to do with their comedy. But this week, we have something different. Earlier this month, John Mulaney and Nick Kroll, you know John and Nick, comedians, Big Mouth, Sack Lunch Bunch, other credits, they reach out to me and say they're producing a new podcast, Oh Hello the Pitcast, and wondered if I would have its stars, Gil Faison and George St. Geeglin, on Good One to talk about it. I was a big fan of Gil and George on The Kroll Show, on Broadway, on its corresponding Netflix special, so I said, sure, not thinking what I was getting myself into. For those who don't know, Gil and George are two 70-year-old jerks slash roommates slash Alan Alda fans living on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, best known for their fish-themed prank show Too Much Tuna. In their Broadway show, Gil describes the duo as, you know when you get to the bottom of a tub of hummus and you can't fit your carrot in there so you gotta use your fingies to scoop it out? Bam, that's us, baby. Gil and George have taken the podcasting world by storm with their 20 or so minute deep dives into the life and death of Princess Diana. With her season just wrapping up, I spoke to the duo about their pitcast and how they're handling the quarantine. I say I spoke, but mostly I listened. I should note we use a site called Squadcast to record our conversation, and my feed dropped out a couple times. But first, we have a clip from Oh Hello the Pitcast to give you a little taste. In this clip, Gil and George are talking to This American Life host Ira Glass about their podcast idea. So, here is George St. Geeglin and Gil Faison, Charmed, I'm sure.
Wait, you guys are going to make a podcast?
The three of us are going to make it.
The three of us are going
to
do it.
Because we'd like to catch you in, and you're welcome.
What's the podcast? Like, what's the idea?
Where were you the day that Princess Diana died?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
On August 31st, 1997, I was rollerblading up 6th Avenue in very tight, light, form-fitting jeans. I had just beefed a job interview at a new tech company down in the Flatiron District. I remember rollerblading, my knees buckling, my legs trembling. I was terrible at it. I missed the four-pronged wheel roller skates of my youth with the big fat rubber stopper. These are just small details, but I remember them. Gil.
What?
Do you remember where you were on August 31st, 1997?
Yeah, I was in the hospital.
The hospital? What was wrong with you?
Nothing was wrong with me.
Is there anything else you remember?
Yeah, they served milk in little plastic cups. A guy rollerblades down the street. Another guy eats a ham and cheese sandwich in the hospital.
Meanwhile, a guy named Elton is noodling at the piano and says out loud, I hope I don't have to write any songs soon. I got zero.
Why are these stories all tied together?
Well, because it's the Princess Di stuff.
Right. That's right.
Oh, for the listener?
Yeah.
Do it. Do it formal.
Why are all these stories tied together? Why are
we
mentioning
Diana's? Yeah. Oh, sorry, you're doing it.
Okay, no, because let me try one more time.
Absolutely.
Why are all these different stories?
Are you asking me? It's all Diana stuff.
Right. Let's start the show.
I totally like appreciate you turning to me to do a podcast. But do you have something new to say about Diana? I mean, like what's the story you're going to tell? You know, like the kinds of podcasts that we do here, American Life,
Hey, George.
Yeah.
Today's show is sponsored by Subway Sandwiches. Do you love to eat big puffy bread with meat that's sweaty? Go to Subway Sandwiches. Sandwiches done right. Now, that's not the look line. This is not an official sponsorship.
Nope.
Just trying to get a little love for Subway Sandwiches.
Story to it. Like, what's the story?
Everything about Princess Diana.
Don't you think that story's been told?
Not like we're going to do it, baby.
Not in the podcast, I don't think.
If you're trying to interest me in a series about Diana, I think that might not be... Hey, you know something? I've got a call I've got to make, so...
Who's it with?
Who's it with?
One of my coworkers here, Sarah Koenig.
Oh, shit. We like her more than you. Just add us to the call, Ira.
Wait, you think if you were to pitch this to Sarah, you'd do better than you would with me?
Oh, interesting. So you're saying that a woman wouldn't know anything about broadcasting?
Interesting. Because we can really confirm that.
We could definitely tell someone that.
Because we could
that.
Go to thevillagevoice.com and sell that story right now.
We could sell that in a New York Minute, and this is a threat. Don't be an ageist.
With two men coming to you.
I'm telling you, this is not going to work. All right, hold on for a second. Give me a second. Let me get her on the line. Okay, so Sarah, I want you to meet Gil and George.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I'm George Sangeeglin, and this is Gil Faison, and you just met us. Thank you. We do the Oh Hello show.
You know, I watched it on Netflix.
You saw it on Netflix?
On Netflix.
Thank you. That means the world to us. Obviously, you know, we've made a personal connection. You're a fan of the Netflix, you know, and...
Well, I watched it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
So Sarah, I don't think this will take long. These guys want to pitch you an idea.
Oh.
Look, unlike Ira, you've really mastered the podcast space.
Oh, well... Here's
the thing, Sarah. You know, we've got a big story we want to tell, but we want to tell it in a really intimate way.
But also in an explosive way. So, are you sitting down, literally?
I am literally sitting down. Yes, I am.
What's the biggest event of the last 25 years?
I mean, in America, I would say probably 9/11 and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, I was going to say the invention of the internet and all the social media and
there's
the way it's changed all discourse.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Let me rephrase. What do you think was the biggest event of, like, the late 90s?
The late 90s.
When did the Berlin Wall come down?
89,
idiot.
Okay.
I think let's just rethink the pitch.
Where were you the day that Princess Diana died?
Oh, that's funny. Actually, I remember where I was. I was in my bed.
Wow.
Is your idea about the royals?
So you're intrigued.
There's 90s nostalgia going on right now. What's the one topic that no one's done an awesome podcast about, especially Gil and George? The answer? The death of Diana Princess.
Ira had said there was like a pitch, and so I'm just wondering what the...
Yeah, that was the whole pitch.
I'm shocked at how much we got to walk you through this stuff, guys.
Were you asking for Ira's help? Were you asking him to do it with you or me?
We're not asking, we're giving you a first look
at
this.
No, all I'm saying is that the stories that I do and that Ira tends to do, you know, they're very narrative, very distinct.
Let us say it, I don't care.
Today's show is sponsored by Quiznos. Remember Quiznos? Grilled sandwiches, sort of, toasted.
I don't know. Was it paninis or prasadas?
Unclear, but if you're in the Cincinnati airport in 2008, go to Quiznos. Sandwiches done right.
I'm here with the people behind the podcast you just heard, Gil Faison and George Sangeeglin.
Jesse, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
That's right.
We're really good. Really
great.
Good.
I got to say, go ahead.
No. You go.
I was going to say, things are crazy right now, right?
Yeah,
it's
heard.
I feel like this is from filed under News of the Weird. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
This feels crazy.
It feels, you know, George and I were saying this. And I don't know if anybody said this, but it feels like a movie.
It's like all movies.
It's like all that. What's that movie?
Cinderella Story.
That's
and
right.
And Chad Michael Murray.
And yeah, Hilary Swank.
Hilary Duff.
So how are you guys doing? What has your experience been like during the pandemic?
I mean, it's been good for us to slow things down a little bit.
I think it feels like the rat race, you know, you can't slow the rat race. So someone called time out, you know?
Yeah. And you know, and it's crazy because rat race.
Are you quarantining on the Upper West Side? How is it up there?
Yeah, we didn't exactly spring for a new home during the quarantine. I wish I had one of those idiot buttons you could press, you know, Howard Stern style. Just something like a toilet flush or something when someone asks a D-minus question like that. Where do you live? I live at home. But
it's true. We were hoping to get up to Sorgatys or something in the Hamptons or
pull over somewhere on 28 near Phoenicia. You know,
try to get up to him in the Phoenician Diner or anywhere upstate. And most of our connections kind of fell through. Mm-hmm. And so we decided.
Well, they died years ago.
Yeah, many of them died. And so we decided to stay in our apartment on 74th in Amsterdam. And we decided to stay. You know, we're in two different rooms. We're in a double. We're self isolated. We're two different rooms. I'm quarantined in one room, and George St. Giegland's quarantined in another room.
We were concerned, you know, because Gil is at risk.
Mm. Yeah.
On Twitter, that's his handle, at risk, mm-hmm. because he's part of these board games where you plan war.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
I'm a stratego man myself.
Yeah, it's true. And because I always say, you know, George has the ego, but what he lacks is the strategy. you know, and then hopefully someone will write the rest of it. But it's always the start of a funny bit. And so, but I'm at risk, and it turns out George diagnosed me. He stuck his fingers way up my schnoz, and it turns out
10 seconds each nostril.
It turns out that I got double COVID. I got COVID.
Oh, no. COVID-38, COVID.
I got double. It's close to double chai, but it's double COVID. And so it turns out it cancels itself out.
Oh, well, that's good.
We're taking precautions, though. You know, we're covering our head and face in pantyhose like you're supposed to.
Uh-huh.
And we've been doing that for a while, honestly. Because it's a disguise of sorts. And we do it now. We wear leather gloves when we go to the store, driving gloves, fingertips exposed, obviously, or a ski mask with the mouth exposed. And we're taking it seriously. You know, it's that all-in type challenge, you know.
Well, and it's for us, you know, as guys who, well, you know, we're liberal guys, obviously, but also don't tread on us. You know, don't tell me that you can how I'm supposed to behave to make me wear a mask. When, you know, I'm trying to breathe on you, or I'm coughing, or I'm sneezing on the street, you know, that's my right. That's my right as a New Yorker, and that's my right as someone with double COVID.
And because of our real estate connections in the East Williamsburg area, yes, we're going to ultra-Orthodox funerals. Yes, we're glad-handing. We're schmoozing. It's, you know, if you want to rent an apartment in Greenpoint, you got to be in with this group, this Toyota minivan group.
Yeah, these bruised Toyota minivans. And also, you know, any time that I see a mezuzah, I'm going to kiss it with my bare fingers and then put it to my mouth.
It's the ritual of it, Jesse.
I understand.
Jesse, have you watched Unorthodox on Netflix?
I haven't yet. It's
the first show to be about that, Jesse.
And every time they go to kiss their fingies to that mezuzah, I think COVID. Anyway.
But once this is all over, it's fine to touch a door and then lick your hand.
You mentioned Unorthodox. Are there other things you guys are binge watching?
We're binge watching
is what is it? Netflix and chill, more like Netflix and COVID. I mean, you can use that, I guess. I'm fine with that. That's pretty good.
That's pretty awesome. And Jesse, we have T-shirts of that we had an idea for. If you want to get those made and give us, mm-hmm. you know, the profits or something. Oh, you know what? Actually, say that it's for charity, and then just send us the check. Mm-hmm. But we're doing a lot of Netflix and COVID. We're binge watching Fox News. We're binge watching Fox News.
The Five, old episodes of The Five.
Yeah, and then we're also watching Channel 5. Uh-oh. I think we just lost Jesse. Who, George, you got Squid Goals? You got Squid Goals?
I got Squid Goals, yeah. I'm looking to make the ultimate squad. Uh-huh. We're talking about Squid Goals, Jesse.
Yeah, welcome okay. back, Jesse. Welcome back to the cast, to the pod. You know, we're using Squid Cast, and so I asked if George has Squid Goals.
Mm-hmm. Ultimate Squad, Paul Stanley Kiss, David Robinson of the Spurs, me, George Gigland. That's it.
No Gil Faison charm, do you be sure?
No, Squad Goals. Aspirational.
Okay, what about Bernie
Getz? Not like your pneumonia.
What about Bernie Getz?
I've lately been trying to shake Bernie.
Yeah, me too, man.
Who, before this started, I saw in real life on 14th Street with a big bunch of paper towels.
Also, did you guys see the New York Post article about Bernie Getz ignoring COVID, ignoring the not wearing the mask? This is for real. You can't make this up. I mean, we would, and we make up things all the time, Jesse.
About Bernie Getz and the Guardian Angels, we have a completely slanderous book about.
But this is real. This was an article about Bernie Getz, that he was in Union Square wearing no mask, feeding his best friends, you got it, the squirrels.
So have you been binge-watching anything?
Oh, yeah. We've been binge-watching Fox News. We've been binge-watching reruns of Friends on we know it is WPIX. I don't think it's still called that. I think
it's HBO Max now.
HBO Max, which we don't get.
Did you watch Tiger King? Did you watch The Last Dance?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Tiger King. Listen, Tiger King, here's how good. If you've never seen a documentary before... Tiger King it's amazing. They have footage of stuff.
It's awesome. And, you know, because our show, Oh Hello, the podcast, available on every we got Netflix to sponsor, I mean, not really, but we've been doing sponsorships, hoping that some of those companies would pay up. But Tiger King was one of our first sponsors, you know, and it was awesome because if you want to see why America is the way it is.
If you're still scratching your head standing on the corner with your belly hanging out thinking about why did Trump win, take a look at these 12 idiots in this movie. Most of them criminals.
Yeah. No, but we watched Tiger King and we ordered one of those tigers to have in the apartment.
Both as a cuddler and as a lure, because yeah. The guy that wears a do-rag and a baseball cap, he would use baby tigers to lure women in Vegas because he was having a tough time there, apparently.
We went to the same cult school as Bhagavan, as that guy, as the guy, what's his name? Anybody remember? Has it already disappeared from our collective conscious at this point?
Yeah, you mean the guy who had a hat and longer white hair?
Yeah, exactly. We watched Tiger King, Last Dance. We watched, you know, because we were big Knicks guys back in the 90s when Jordan and the Bulls were the big squad, you know.
We were in charge. We actually, we worked for Pat Riley as his slick back team.
Yeah, we were.
He would dunk his head in the sink and we would go easy, easy. And we would make sure that those beautiful Hermes ties didn't get any gel on them.
That's right. I was known officially for Pete Riley as his pomade wrangler, and George was in charge of making the knot on his tie as small as possible.
I was also hired by Nick's PR to make Jin Starks more unlikable.
But yeah, those were the good days. Those were the good days for basketball, you know.
The Last Dance, though, is fundamentally flawed by not covering arguably the greatest player of that time, David Robinson of the Spurs.
Squid Goals.
Squid Goals.
With the theaters closing, are there any Broadway shows you're sad you've missed?
So no follow-ups on anything we've said so far.
No, it's all made perfect sense.
Yeah. There are a bunch of shows we're happy that are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Personally speaking, you know, Hamilton, no thank you.
I think that show is making fun of me.
Hamilton?
During it, I thought, these guys, they're trying to make me feel bad. They're teasing me.
Well, when you see talent and a new take, it's like, what's wrong with the way things used to be, you know?
When a character would come off badly, I felt like they're actually taking a dig at me.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's funny because, you know, in Prince George or King George is in Hamilton, right?
That's when I stormed the stage.
Yeah. We never saw the first act. We only saw the second act.
We saw the curtain call in the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS message at the end. We saw the curtain call, maybe.
And Jesse, I'm going to do your job for you. And you guys, we had Lin-Manuel on the podcast.
Yes. How did you get him? What was he like?
By booking him.
Hmm. By calling him on the phone, by getting his unlisted number, by pretending to be a representative of Best Buy, claiming that we needed a new delivery and we needed a phone number.
We said General Electric fridges were being recalled. Was there a convenient window to come pick up the fridge?
And we got that home address, and then we traced that, and we got a phone number, and then we called the phone number, and Lin-Manuel picked up.
And his number was pinged off four different satellites, like the movie Sneakers.
Yeah, it's true. And we got on the phone, like Poitier before him, speaking of Sneakers. We wanted to do a spinoff of Portnoy's Complaint called Poitier's Complaint. And it's just, you want to explain it, Georgie?
Well, it would be Poitier in different situations, complaining to customer service.
Yeah.
We didn't know if it was a novel or a hit TV show or a hit movie. We couldn't
It would be stuff like this, you didn't starch my collar, brother. You know, stuff like that, you know.
Martin, indignant. We are in Sneakers. Yeah. Martin.
Indignant he would be. So we got Lin-Manuel, we got him on the cast, you know, because he was on Broadway with Hamilton when we were on Broadway, you know, with Oh Hello and Broadway.
On Broadway.
138 performances.
Recouped.
But I don't remember. Hey, George, do you remember if Lin-Manuel won a Webby?
I'm trying to think if he won a Webby this week for best branded content.
Like we did with Awkwafina, the star person, Awkwafina. George and Gil chimed, we're sure. Won a Webby or whatever. I don't know if you were going to get to that, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
But we did win a Webby for branded content for an online-only commercial we did for Cadillac.
So. And we agreed to do it when after we countered, and they countered, we were satiated. Our egos were satiated, and we agreed to do it for the money, and it won a Webby. And it's hard, you know, it's sort of hard to let go of your darlings, they say. And that was such a fun project. It was about an 8-hour shoot. And I remember when we countered, it was one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, what a day. I remember when we countered and they rejected it and they offered us, and we took exactly what their first offer was.
And I remember when they called and said, if you counter again, it will go down. And I remember scrambling.
Clutching at the phone as if the phone was the offer itself.
And all of the rage and ego draining out of our bodies, and this desperation, like people crawling through a desert for water. And we said, forget our counters, and we're so sorry.
And we took the offer, and we got the money, and we won the Webby.
And I loved working with Awkwafina, but I especially loved when I asked someone to get a different lunch than the lunch they had.
Yeah, I remember that. That was such a great day to have people doing what we asked, sort of. And then to immediately have invested all of our money in Carnival Cruise Lines was such, now looking back, possibly a mistake. We'll see. We'll see.
I invested a great deal also in a little naked interactive play called Sleep No More. And when COVID hit, I thought sleep's going to get hurt. And it did. It's been closed. And you can't run around the old hospital or hotel, whatever that is, with the nude people.
Some might say it was even closed before COVID.
Some might say, but when I called my accountant, Lou Groovy,
And I said, do you still have a CPA license? He said, no. I said, can you make an investment for me? He said, technically, yes. I said, I want to sock my money away in Sleep No More.
Yeah, we put it all into Sleep No More and Carnival Cruise Lines.
And kissing booths.
And then a sneezing contest, which is a traveling sneezing contest that...
Every year, right after the Coney Island hot dog eating contest, there's a sneezing contest.
And how many sneezes can you catch in your mouth, you know?
Jesse, do you sneeze multiple times or do you sneeze? Are you a one-off?
I'm multiple times.
How many? Do you get up to normally?
Three.
Good luck. Yeah. That's good luck.
Oh, good. What do you got? What about you guys?
I don't have short sneezes. I have one 30-40 minute sneeze, basically.
I hold in my sneezes till my eyeballs bug out bloody like Michael Jordan's.
Yeah. I go, squash. And that's me falling off a cliff like a Looney Tunes.
So you mentioned being on Broadway and your podcast. And so you go from Broadway, you have this huge Netflix special, and then a podcast. What was the thinking?
And the Webby.
And a Webby this week for Branded Content with Awkwafina, for which we were paid our counter.
Which we were not paid it. We were paid their original.
We were paid their original minus expenses for having to email us.
So sorry, what was the question?
Why a podcast?
Why the podcast? Well, you know, George and I began this podcast about a year and a half ago, and we thought...
Yes.
Yeah, there wasn't... We thought, you know, there hasn't been anything about Princess Diana, the life and death.
Or the people's reaction to Princess Diana.
Right, and so we
England in general.
And not very much about England or the royals themselves. You know, we thought this was an area that had yet to be explored. And we thought, I also just the thought of doing a podcast, you know, we want that payday. You know what I mean? You got good one. You know what we're talking about.
Had you listened to many podcasts before you started working on your own?
Oh, sure.
Sure. We listened to the podcast This American Life on the radio. You know, we listened on WNYC. We listened to...
Imus
is a podcast. Imus in the Morning, although he's passed. And rest in Imus. Rest Imus bees.
Rest in hat.
And, of course, Joe Rogan. You know, when we got that payday from the Webby Award branded content winner, we had been told Joe Rogan called us and said, hey, do you want to invest in the podcast? You know, you guys are the guys. You're the guys. I want to give you a taste.
And we've lost
Jesse again.
Squid cast,
squid goes.
We'll be right back with more Gil and George.
Calling all female runners, it's time to lace up and join Team Milk. Since the 2022 New York City Marathon, Team Milk has sponsored female marathon runners nationwide, providing support and shining a spotlight on their unique stories, perseverance, and drive to go the distance. Why milk? Dairy milk is an excellent nutritional add for both marathon training and recovery. Milk contains 13 essential nutrients, including high-quality protein, making it a crucial component of a training diet. Plus, it's one of the best beverages for hydration, even better than water. The same electrolytes that are added to many of your favorite sports drinks are found naturally in milk. And in 2024, Team Milk is taking the next step to empower female runners by launching the only women's marathon in the U.S. designed for and by women. Built to be accessible, empowering, and community-building, the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon will take place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16, 2024. You can learn more and register for the marathon at everywomansmarathon.com.
Eurovision is here. This year's contest gets underway this week in Malmö, Sweden.
But this year's contest comes with a dose of controversy. I'll give you one guess as to what people are mad about. Yes, correct. It's that.
Organizers of the Eurovision Song Contest say they are assessing whether Israel's entry breaks the rules on political neutrality.
I think it's a shame. I think there's no way that Israel should be able to participate in Eurovision.
Pro-Palestinian protesters are taking to the Swedish streets. More than 1,000 Swedish artists, including Robin, have called for an Israel ban. Some European politicians are joining them. Charlie Harding from Switched On Pop joins us this week on Today Explained to help us figure out if Europe can sing its way out of this situation.
And I'm back with Gil Faison and George C. Giegelin.
All right, Laser Beam's back in charge, baby.
Jesse, where are you?
I'm in Brooklyn, but apparently my internet is not happy with me.
Have you dropped out during any other podcasts?
No, this is the first time.
That's wonderful.
I think it's the star wattage of this one.
Mm-hmm. So Joe Rogan, yeah, you're talking.
So we got them. We got the original orifer from. We got the original orifer from Cadillac, and we took that. They didn't accept that counter, and then we took that money and we got the orifer to invest in Joe Rogan's podcast, which just sold to Spotify for well over $100 million. And I don't regret it. I don't regret it.
We'd like to say the Spotify. And of course, LimeWire, Napster, any of you listening.
LimeWire.
We are willing now to finally sell the crown jewel of the Oh Hello Empire, which is the Oh Hello, the podcast, Life and Times of Princess Di, a.k.a. Die Town, Exploring the Life and Murder of Princess Diana podcast, for $175 million.
We will accept no counters. For $175 million, the Oh Hello podcast is available for a license agreement, not for sale. We reserve the right to own it indefinitely after that point. But we did, yes, no. So we're looking to, you know, right now we're not doing the podcast. There is no sponsor. We're doing it. We couldn't get any sponsors.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it seems like your guys are working with Nick Kroll and John Mulaney again, and they wanted to do it for charity. What did you think about that decision?
These fucking cowards. I'm sorry. Yeah. These cowards. These human trash. These cowards. You know, we've been carrying these two for years. You know.
This is why we left the Manson family, because it was all let's share, let's give each other the garbage to eat. And I said, what I got, what I jimmied out of the dumpster is mine. Comprende? And I remember Charlie saying, this guy makes me nervous. And I said, you know, fine, Gil and I are going. And Gil was in a little peasant dress and he had long braids.
I was barefoot tromping through Laurel Canyon. Hungry for blood.
Walking downhill on Laurel.
And George grabbed me, you know, he was in this awful little VW, and he grabbed me, he said, "We're out, we're not in the family anymore." And I had a lust for blood. The amount of PCP and acid that I had in my empty body at that point. I had a thirst for blood, but George got me out, you know, and he got me out just in time. Just like we got out of, you know, the grasp, the cold iron grip of Jim Mulaney and the Kroll before they could sink their, you know, controlling little teeth into us.
I came to them with a folder I made, a brochure on Monsanto. Sure. And I said, this is one of the major corporations. And I think they get nothing but bad press. We could do ads for Monsanto. I believe they make pesticides and other ways to make flowers smell fruity. And we you know, why don't we call them? And they, you know, that makes us uncomfortable. And I shook up a can of Sprite and I threw it at their heads.
Yeah. I go, you know what makes me uncomfortable? The rock-size gallstone that I'm currently passing through my urethra. But you don't hear me you know, calling that out except for right now. And then I passed it and I threw it in Nick Kroll and Jim Mulaney's face.
Had you been keeping up to date with all the recent work, be it Big Mouth or Sack Punch Lunch?
Sack Punch Lunch?
Lunchheads. No, I didn't see that.
I saw Sack Lunch Punch. I liked that a lot. Big Mouth is dirty. I heard about it. My Dory Dur's son said he's watching it. I said, this is dirty.
Big Mouth is a wonderful show, though, and it has taught a lot of younger people, teenagers, you know, they laugh at the honesty with which sexuality and sensuality is discussed. And I think it's an important show, and that's why, and I've been asked to stop, but I drive around with a Sony television. I drive past schools. Not now, obviously. Thank you, COVID. But, you know, I blast programs that I think are important.
So it's that. It's old episodes of Ricky Lake with reformed strippers. It's that kind of stuff George will play on a boombox.
You know, I feel like Ricky Lake really has been forgotten because she wasn't involved in a murder like Jenny Jones, but she made her mark.
She left an imprint. It's sort of like Princess Diana, you know? You know, what's interesting, we're doing a podcast about royalty, Princess Diana and the royals, but we're producing it with podcast royalty, Lena Mitsitsis, who just won a Pulitzer Prize because she did a story on the border wall for This American Life.
That's one way of looking at what the Pulitzer's for, but, you know, when Lena started working with us, she did not have a Pulitzer Prize. She did Oh Hello podcast, Life and Death of Princess Diana. Ooh, Dietown. Now she has one. They actually don't tell you what it's for at the Pulitzer Awards show.
I think it was for a story about the border wall.
That's the thing. That's how they spin it. She did Oh Hello, did not have a Pulitzer. She did Oh Hello, she got a Pulitzer. And that to me is heartwarming.
It was really beautiful that, you know, so she's been literally splitting her time between winning a Pulitzer with This American Life and doing a podcast with George and Gil, Charmed We Are Sure.
You've also been working with Ira Glass and Sarah Koenig. How have they been as collaborators?
They're much like how the French would refer to collaborators.
Yeah.
Which is traitors.
Yeah. Nazi sympathizers.
Yes.
The word was what we
the
have
The founders
heard.
Of ISIS. They are. They didn't support our podcast and said we'd rather be left out of it. We put them on it and they did not lend any support.
They tried to give us advice about what to do and how to do a podcast. And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, we've had Ira Glass, Sarah Koenig, we've had Gin Oliver, we've had Lin-Manuel Miranda, we've had Pete Davidson.
We had Ferocia.
We've had Ferocia, the psychic.
Well, the reader of photos. Medium.
The reader of photos, she's a medium. In the season finale, we're not going to ruin, but, you know, we've had all of these guests on the podcast, you know, and honestly, it was such a favor for us to have them in the podcast and they didn't see it. You know, anyway, it's, you know, people, I always say, you know, my back, you know, I have had three different vertebrae that have been fused. But the reason my back hurts is from carrying these fucking schmucks on the podcast for the last, you know, seven eps, you know. So
you guys are both artists, Gil, Thank you're an you. Actor. George, you're a writer. How's the creative process different when creating a podcast?
Well, with a podcast, it's you get headphones and you get larger microphones than if you're picturing a Babarka microphone. You have to picture a larger microphone. You normally bring a guest in and you kind of pre-apologize for the podcast, and then you record the podcast. And at the end, you all take your headphones off and you all scratch your ears because they're a little sweaty and a little itchy. And then you go, that was great. And they go, was that good?
That was great. Yeah, that was really good. That was fun. That was good.
No, I think we got it. We had a lot of great stuff in there. And then we have to go in and splice magic out of their dirt pile.
It's
so it's different than writing a book, which is typing.
And, you know, we thought this was, it turns out, you know, I think with Trailblazers, and as far as launching a podcast during the quarantine, we were the first, I think the first to do it.
We were, yeah, we were.
And there have been a lot of cupcakes. You know, you see all these other podcasts out in the mix right now of the guys from The Scrubs and the girls from The Orifice and the guys from Community. It's like, how pathetic do you have to try to capitalize on the success of a former show to have it podcast on that?
Yeah,
it's
you like, had a show once. Congratulations. Move on with your life. What are you providing us? It just sounds like inane chit-chat.
Yeah, you're just doing the same characters that you've already done and now you're doing a podcast for
and
it?
At least we respect the 18-minute mark. I don't think we have a show longer than 21.
Yeah, I was going to ask, why are the episodes so short?
Well, they're long if you think about what the show is. You know, because it's a mystery, and we're sticking by facts, and we fact check everything.
We fact checked everything,
and so we're not going to air a bunch of noise. Yeah. So and also we have limited content.
We are going to do a follow up podcast called "Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk," and that's about. I don't know what that's going to be. We came up with the title first. Maybe it'll be about Sly and the Family Stone or something cool like that.
He existed for a long time as a freebase addict.
Yes, he did.
He was he toured, wrote songs, did press, and he was a freebase addict, which is admirable in a way.
And Ginge Clinton as well, and Sly also had a very long motorcycle. If you want to go Google Sly and the Family Stone.
Motorcycle,
you're going to see a very long motorcycle. But back to the podcast, you know, it's been awesome, you know, very freeing because we want to do long form journalism and nobody's buying. You know, George has been submitting to The New Yorker and I've been submitting to Parade. And, you know, so to get something published these days, it's hard to do. Jesse, you know this. It's hard to do long-form journalism.
Yeah. Podcast is the future of long-form journalism.
Jesse, how long do you think a podcast should be? Blanket statement.
On average, an hour, even though mine tend to be longer. But on average, so I'm on a little bit higher. You guys a little bit shorter. Uh-huh. So,
what's the longest podcast you listen to?
I've listened to You Made It Weird episodes that I'm sure were 3 hours or whatever long.
Oh, that's wonderful. Sure. So that's the wonderful. Whole season of Oh Hello is 7 20-minute whoppers. And I'm talking Burger King sandwiches.
This is a BK broiler kind of situation.
Yeah, just 7 perfect BK broilers and the 8th comes out on Friday. And this podcast comes out the 26th.
Yeah. But, and I believe... If I'm not mistaken, George, one of those episodes is about 7 to 8 minutes long. If I'm not...
That, you are correct. There is an episode which is not even a midweek teaser. It is the episode for that week, and it is about 8 minutes of us, you know, going through the news, asking hard questions, talking about news stories from 2000, I believe it was 18.
So we recorded most of this in 2018. George and I had a massive falling out of a girl, blah, 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 blah. We make up. We go to China. We eat bat soup. We come back. We do a kissing contest all over the country. Go to Italy. We go to Iran. We do a kissing contest all over the country. And we do a kissing contest, bat soup, double bill. We do bat soup, double bill kissing contest, and then, you know, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this thing pops up, and here we are now, you know, and we think, hey, you know what? You know it could be all right. Maybe we should take another look at this Princess Diana. And so, you know,
we got out the tapes.
We faxed Lena a Xerox copy that we then printed out on the shiniest paper, the slipperiest, shiniest paper, and we sent that via snail mail to Lena, and she was interested. And one of the reasons the podcast is so short is because the Dell computer that we're recording on has a hard drive that is the size of a room, and it can hold about 30 megabytes.
And that's the room where it happened.
That's very funny. That's very funny.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, during quarantine, Shakespeare wrote King of the Hill, and we're aware of that. And so each day we do morning pages, which is a list of our nightmares.
How do you guys maintain such a healthy collaboration all these years in?
Cocaine. Cocaine helps. Cocaine helps a lot. You know, we do a couple lines in the morning, and then we crash hard. And then we do yesterday's coffee, and then we get tired again, and we do today's chocolate.
And then one of us is a godlike, Philip Roth-like, imposing cocksman of a man. And the other's a little curly terrier, roll over on his back, pet his belly. Absolute beta, the absolute second.
A power beta, as I like to say, though, he's a power beta. In that he is absolutely comfortable talking in the third person about being the low man on the totem pole.
Speaking of, in a Chinese food restaurant, low man is not the low man on the totem pole.
No, for us, it's the high man on the totem pole.
The highest point on the totem pole traditionally is meant for the top food, and lo mein is that to us.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. You know, Jesse, you know what? I am so mad at That's Gone, Beyond Princess Diana, which you can listen to, the
Die Town, the Princess Diana.
I miss chicken chow mein, which is a 1950s Chinese food. And if you see a restaurant that has chicken chow mein on it, you're in a restaurant that established its menu before 1965. And you're going to want to eat at that restaurant. With the sweetest duck sauce in the world.
Plum duck. Do you know why opera guests is like Chinese chicken salad?
Why is that?
Because it's got a little crunch to it.
So the season finale, by the time people will be listening to this, has aired. What do you hope the audience thinks about Diana as a result of the story that you're able to tell?
That they finally know the entire story.
Who?
The blonde Princess Diana.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. I'm all cut up. Go ahead, Georgie.
We hope people walk away going, I thought I knew what happened to Diana, but I heard, oh, hello, and now
who are you? Sorry, George, who are you talking about?
I want the average person to go, I've been looking at her murder for 25 years and I haven't cracked it. And these guys might have.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, she was this larger than life figure.
But in many ways was an ordinary person.
Yeah. And so.
Who lived an ordinary life.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true.
Well, and with extraordinary circumstances, we got to put that in somewhere. That's good.
Or was she just an interesting person who lived a big life? I don't know.
And that's what we hope to explore on the podcast. It's done. Shoot, that would have been good to talk about with somebody, wouldn't it?
To say, oh, yeah, that could be a season two thing.
Season 2.
Welcome to season 2. Of Oh Hello podcast, Life, Death, Princess Diana, K. Daitan.
Mm-hmm. Season 2.
This season we...
What did we forget? What did we forget?
We forgot to mention that her children are William and Harry, for instance.
Yeah. I think what we hope that people, you know, look at her life and look at her death and, you know, ask some questions about what happened, but also... we just want people to have a little bit of fun, you know?
Yeah, what do you hope they learn about friendship?
Ooh. Late in the game, but you stumped us.
You know, nothing, you know, I will say this, you know, in this quarantine, you get shacked up with somebody, you know, and hopefully it's going to be your best friend. And I think, you know, George and I have had our ups and downs, and he's the king and I'm a little terrier, and I want, sometimes I just need somebody to rub my belly. And he does that. And it's the kindest thing. He's the kind, people don't know this about George. He's the kindest man in the world. He's a really good guy. He's a really kind man.
You know, before they were the Beatles, they were four friends who met as babies.
And then they...
And then they...
They were the Beatles babies, which is a cartoon that we're trying to pitch right now.
Yeah, we're trying to do it at Adult Swim, where you can do real jacked up, fucked up stuff. But they're like, you know, this isn't funny or whatever. And it's not meant to be funny. It's nice. It's meant to be nice.
It's upsetting. It's sort of upsetting. But it was... No, it's true. When you think about the Beatles, they were four friends, and then they kicked one of them out, and they brought Ringo, the schnoz, in.
And they brought in a ringer named Ringo, and he could bang them drums loud too. Well, see, with the problem with the first drummer was he was not good at drumming, which, if ever, you know, we need no revisionist history about this. That's just an absolutely good move to replace that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the Beatles took drugs and grew mustaches.
Yeah, and I loved it, and I said this in the podcast, but I personally love the Beatles. I think that's awesome.
Gil loves them. He's got all the albums. He's got Sgt. Pepper's.
Yeah, I got the greatest hits. I got Sgt. Pepper's. I got Sgt. Pepper's cooking in the kitchen right now.
He's got Diet Dr. Pepper's on the radiator getting warm enough.
Georgie likes a flit soda. Georgie likes a warm flit soda.
Diet Right, lemon and strawberry.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm trying to pass this golf ball size gallstone, and I go, Georgie, I need a doctor, and he knows the only doctor I need is a Diet Dr. Pepper.
So you mentioned Beatles babies. Do you have any other projects in the works now that you wrapped the podcast?
Do you know Dunstan Checks In? Well, that movie's...
That's about a monkey.
We're writing a movie called Loose Monkey, and what it is there's no spin. There is no sugarcoating what would happen. It is a gavel to gavel, real exploration of what would happen if a monkey was loose in a residential area. We pull no punches. Because monkeys will rip off people's hands and feet and their balls and throw them 100 feet. That happened once to a zookeeper who brought a monkey a birthday cake. After you Google Sly and the Family Stone motorcycle, Google monkey ripped off hands and feet and balls when guy brought birthday cake.
And we tried to sign, this is when we were a scout for the New York Mets, we tried to sign that monkey.
I said, that means, look at that southpaw, he can throw.
And what's he done with that Google monkey throwing shit at grandma? Have you seen this footage?
I have not seen this footage, tell me about it.
Ugh, this monkey throws his doo-doo poo-poos because he's so mad. And the camera, it pans over and there's this grandma and she's got a big monkey poo-poo doo-doo. Right on her nose. And
so she lives with the monkey.
No, this is in a zoo, my friend. This is in a zoo. A grandma's watching. A grandma's just watching this monkey throw one of his famous fits. And this monkey throws his doo-doo-poo-poo right. And the camera pans and you see the grandma and she's just got it right on her schnoz. And there's no movie that will ever be better than this. But we're going to try to make it. We're going to try to do that with Dunstan Checks In, too.
Loose Monkey.
With the podcast ending, you said you set out to win quarantine. Do you feel like you did what you set out to do?
Oh, it's not about that.
It's not about winning. Because we already won the Webby.
For best branded content. For a Cadillac ad we did with Awkwafina.
This is a major motion picture star.
It wasn't for popcorn or one of these ads for caramel corn, you see, or one of these ads for chocolate-covered popcorn.
This is for a classic American car who did not become a sponsor for the podcast.
And who has not reached out to us since the Webby, and who did not love our behavior on set. But what's important is that we countered. We stood up for ourselves. They did not meet that counter.
And we accepted their first order.
So did we win quarantine?
Did we win quarantine?
No, we're hemorrhaging money and health.
No. You know, who won quarantine is Governor Cuomo's nipples. They won the quarantine.
And Matilda Cuomo won the quarantine back in the news.
Back in the news. Now, and there's nobody called Matilda Swinton, but we're angling to have someone called that.
Mentioning Cuomo, how do you think de Blasio is doing?
De Blasio? Well, look, we're Y guys. You know, de Blasio's catching a lot of heat, but he's a Y guy. You know, he goes to the Y every day, and so are we. So we get him. You know, we see Bill at the Y.
And
he doesn't
have nice workout clothes. He has kind of a long T-shirt that he wouldn't wear in life and shorts. And you go, I like that this isn't even a process you take pride in.
No, he's wearing shorts from Modell's.
He's wearing the Modell's brand.
Gotta go to Moe's. De Blasio goes to Moe's. De Blasio goes to Modell's.
Gotta go to Modell's. De Blasio. I mean, listen. The guy's in a city that never sleeps. The mayor gets up at noon.
The guy's a winner. The guy's a proven winner. To be one of the least liked mayors of New York and to immediately run for president?
Even Koch did not run for president. And Koch would have been our first openly annoying president. Because he was open about what an annoying ostrich he was.
Jesse, do you understand how much longer this podcast is than every single one of our podcasts?
It's as long as the season.
It literally is.
It literally is.
It actually is.
That sound means it's time for our final segment. It's the laughing round. It's like a lightning round. Because it's comedy, it's a laughing round.
Sure.
Sure, of course, yeah.
Oh, thanks. Do you guys have favorite jokes?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to come up with one now, actually. We want to do this meme of it's... So here's the idea. First photo, it says, my plans. Second photo says, 2020. And I think the fun would be if the first photo is something nice, mm-hmm. is something cool, you know? And the second photo sucks. And it should be like a very nice car. And then the second picture is like 2020. It's like some dog.
So that's one joke.
I don't know.
Here's my joke is, you know, if you're asking what a joke, then I would say this administration, you know, not the president. I think actually Trump's doing a pretty good job keeping things in charge. I mean, this, the administrator at the Y that we go to, that's this administration, meaning the Y, the administrator of the Y.
Yeah.
Has been terrible.
Okay, so the locker room's not a steam room, so you can't just sit there naked all day. Fine. You don't have to yell and involve other people.
Yeah, oh, it's closed. We're not supposed to be swimming in the pool because the whole gym is closed.
Gone during the laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesse, you came and you did it back.
You left us.
Oh, Jesse.
You left a podcast and we miss you.
And now I'm changing this song to Jimandy.
Jimandy, you're Jesse in podcast language now.
He ain't afraid of no ghost. We got Jesse David Fox on the ones and twos now.
What are you saying about the administration?
JDF, the Jewish Defense Fund, back on the back in the podcast.
What are you saying about the administration?
This administration is the joke. We're talking, of course, about the YMCA administrator that says we're not allowed to be at the YMCA right now because it's closed. So we're not allowed to hang out in the locker room fully nude. Okay.
And when Herr de Blasio and the Gestapo of New York State decides to let the Yankees play again, we'll get to see YMCA half-heartedly acted out by the guys raking the field. Doing it with one hand, with a look that seems to say, I want to die.
I want to die. I'm so hot.
I'm so hot and I'm so humiliated. The day they told us we had to do this, I was humiliated.
Oh.
You mentioned Yankee games. Where do you think it'll be the first place you'll visit once the quarantine is over?
Let's say Film Forum. Mm-hmm. You want to go to Film Forum down in Soho? Let's see. Now, where do we want to go? I mean, you know, I'd say Fairway.
To buy coffee beans out of a sack, to buy pickles from a jar, and to take little squares of Manchego cheese left out. Open food. That's what I miss, is open food.
Yeah. You know, Jesse, back it up. Beep, beep, beep. And I'm ready to roll. You know, Jesse, you know, they said that, you know, polio, Jesse, I'm having a small stroke. George, are you toasting up some bread in there?
No, and I didn't put a penny in your mouth.
Okay. Jesse, you know, they said they discovered the cure for penicillin by growing cheese. And did I say all that right?
Yep, you nailed it. The words are correct and said in the right context and order.
So we thought this COVID, we can come up with the cure. So George is housing Manchego right now.
And we are cooking up halloumi cheese constantly.
The squeakiest cheese.
It's squeaky. It's like eating styrofoam, which I did recently after I got a package from First Dibs.
Yeah, we thought it was popcorn. It turned out to be none other than styrofoam.
And last question, by the ounce, how much is too much tuna?
The loss of respect we have now for you. Let's walk him through it. That was work we did a long time ago. That was 3 years ago, and we might do it again. So you don't go up to the Beatles and go, hey, I loved when you guys were four friends and babies.
I mean, we did go up to the Beatles. We have done that.
We went up to Paul and Ringo.
And we said, you guys want to do Beatles babies? You know, the cartoon where you guys just sing hits?
Gil had his hand on Paul's forearm, and I could see Gil's knuckles turning white because he was squeezing his arm so hard.
To see Paul McCartney, a man I deeply respect, on stage and think, boy, that is someone's very fit lesbian aunt, was an honor. It's an honor to make fun of a true great and a decent man by all accounts.
And one of these days, we will know where the Beatles got their clothing in their later years. Where are their shirts made? Where are Ringo's bedazzled Raiders hats made?
I think also we could become very famous musicians from the 60s, 70s, and 80s if we start wearing kind of that tunic-looking clothing, like the Peter Gabriel line.
Just a long Nehru jacket with maybe large gold buttons, like a buccaneer, like a swashbuckler.
So I think that answers your question, how much tuna is too much tuna?
Yeah, I think that answers it. That's all the questions I have. Thank you so much for your
time. One last thing. Bernie Goetz lives on 14th between 5th and 6th.
Bernie Goetz.
He lives at the Courtney House on 14th Street. He still lives there. Take the kids. Go see Bernie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
JDF, thank you so much. And thank you for your defense of the Jewish people with the Jewish defense.
The JDF often backing the wrong people.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Jez.
You can stream or download Oh Hello the Pitcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow Gil and George on Twitter at Oh Hello Show. Follow John Mulaney on Twitter at Mulaney and on Instagram at John Mulaney. Follow Nick Kroll at Nick Kroll on both. Good One is produced by myself, Jelani Carter, Art Chung, and Camila Salazar. Gautam Srikishan did our theme song. Write a review and rate the show on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars, please. Email any comments, questions, or laughing round suggestions to goodonepodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us @goodonepodcast. I'm Jesse David Fox, and you can follow me @JesseDavidFox. Good One is a production of Vulture and the Vox Media Podcast Network. We'll be back next week with Hannah Gatsby. Have a good one.
Can you cut at me laughing like this, please? Okay, sorry.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running, and that's not the case. Most runners hate running, but they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.